This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. You are on Critical Hit here on Joy 94.9, and we have some very special guests in the studio for you today. In fact, we're actually going to open with one of their songs from their upcoming show for the comedy festival, This Gaming Life. It is the boys from Tripod, Gatesy, Scott and Simon. They're in the studio with us, and We won't explain it. We'll just go straight into it.
Let's go straight in.
That's right. Let's not even talk.
Excellent.
Let's just start playing.
Oh, hey!
We could go out. We could be playing in the sun, down on a beach, throwing a frisbee at a dog. But here on the couch, we don't need the world. We got each other, 'cause we're good friends, killing each other. Good friends, killing each other. Good friends, we're staying in, taking each other out, blowing you up, taking a chainsaw to your head, mowing you down, making a skid mark from your blood, removing your skin. Nothing quite like hearing the chilling screams of good friends, killing each other, good friends, brotherly brother, good friends. We're there for each other, lying in wait with a gun. Call me a dreamer, call me a fool. What if the world could be like us, with violent conflict on a global scale? I guess it's just a crazy fantasy. Here's where the sax solo would come in the final show. We're doing it with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra, so these guitars are, I mean, they, you know, they sort of, they do evoke orchestral grandness. But you wait till the, you know, the full thing.
You could just whistle for now if you like.
Yeah, come yeah, in. Yeah. Let's do it. Is your mic on? I wish the whole world was good friends, killing each other. Good friends, killing each other. Good friends, killing each other. Good
friends. If you're driving your car, pull over, sing along. Come on, yeah.
Here we go. We're gonna need a bigger couch with a built-in refrigerator and a bowl of chips. A really big bowl of chips.
Sing along if you're at home.
Good friends, a really big bowl of chips, killing each other. Good friends, a really big bowl of chips.
Thank you.
I thought I'd just let you talk through the intro as well.
Why not?
Fair enough.
Why not? Let's go for it.
And then we sort of went quiet.
And then we kind of went, oh, no.
No, we'll let it happen.
Someone's made this.
Is my mic on?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think you need to switch ears with your headphones and then you're about to hear yourself.
There you go.
Yeah.
I noticed that halfway through the song. I was like, hang on a second. No, ears fine.
Coming through one side. Very special. Yes, you are on Critical Hits and we are being joined today by very special guests, the lovely boys from Tripod. That was wonderful. Thank you, guys.
Oh, no worries. I think this might be the first radio interview we've ever done that's been underscored like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. I love that. There should be more of it.
Yeah, yeah. All about the underscore here on Critical Hit. It's part of the plan.
I find it very difficult to concentrate with the music of Zelda happening.
You feel like you should be questing and killing things.
Racing across the plains on Epona.
Epona. Yeah, we do get distracted and just kind of listen to it for about 10, 20 seconds sometimes. People must wonder what we're doing. We're just like waiting.
Well, it takes you to such a beautiful world.
Yes.
That game, for me, it's Ocarina of Time, right? This is specific music. Yeah, right.
Yes. Oh, when you're out in the fields, in Hyrule Fields.
Yeah, because this was the heyday of our touring. We used to have a Nintendo 64 with all the controllers and a bag of games. We had some good times on that little machine.
I never played that.
Gatesy and I were like, for a while, we were like, who gets to take the Nintendo home after everyone goes? Because, I'm right in the middle of a really good bit of Ocarina of Time.
That's true. Beautiful. Yeah. That's how friendships break up as well, I think.
Huh?
So who gets 64? That's how friendships can break up.
No. We still got it. We still got it in the studio at home.
We were going to donate it. We were going to donate it.
There was a charity, a youth young people thing, but we thought, screw them.
No. Keep that stuff.
Priorities, man.
Gather dust on a shelf.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They wouldn't understand Zelda like we do.
No.
They're too young.
Look, they're bringing out all the Zeldas on 3DSs now anyway, so they're all coming out of handheld, so they don't need
the same. It's not the same unless it's on a little 12-inch screen in the corner of a hotel room. The ones that they used to put up high on in the hotel rooms, on the arm, and you would have to get up there and like work out how to unscrew the TV off the arm and then work out if you've got the right adapters at the back. You know, it was a jungle back then.
Also, the blurriness of a bad TV screen actually worked well with those graphics.
Smooth it over a little bit.
You try playing like Mario Kart 64 on like a 42-inch TV nowadays.
Yeah.
You can't even see it. It's just like blur, just complete.
See every pixel.
Yeah. It's horrible. Yeah. Mm. High def has ruined everything.
Yeah.
Now
it's ruining our lives.
We do have you guys here for a reason. To have a chat, yes, and to talk about video games. And you're here for the whole hour, which is fantastic.
That's
so
good.
We wanted to get you here for the whole time so you can just geek out with us.
Yeah.
Because this isn't just a gimmick. You guys are like legitimately geeks, right?
We've done a lot of research for this gimmick. It's a gimmick. We've been researching the gimmick for 20 years.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Hours and hours.
40.
Absolutely.
Excellent. So, but we are going to talk later in the show as well. You do have, like you mentioned in the song, with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra, which is on April 17th and April 18th, which is only a few weeks away as part of the Comedy Festival. So we're going to talk more about that later in the show and how that came about and working with Austin Wintory. Who we love around here. We play the Journey soundtrack every couple of months just to bring it back. Yeah, legitimately.
That's awesome.
So definitely a fan of him too. So we'll talk more about that later in the show. But just before we do that as well, just briefly, this gaming life. So this is the first, as far as I know, sort of big scale video game centric show that you guys have done in terms of the entire theme is entirely video games pretty much, right?
Pretty much.
The biggest show we've ever done.
Well,
I think certainly the most ambitious and the most exciting and the most pants filling kind of experience so far.
I have questions about what that means.
Filling your pants? Really? Okay.
Could be a
nighttime
topic.
When you're scared.
Scared. Right. Not the other one.
Okay. Imagine at the same time.
Doing the triple.
Yeah.
Never mind. Let's not get into it. What doing the triple is.
But it certainly is. Games have been the one thing the three of. Well, there's a couple of things we have in common. We love Radiohead.
Yep.
We love music, comedy. I mean, that's our first.
What,
it's our great love.
I honestly did. First time I laid eyes on Yoni, he was. I was at a student. He was hopping out of the mouth of a plant at a student production of Little Shop of Horrors.
Yep.
So our relationship, right from the very first moment. Was based on musical comedy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure a lot of us have done Little Shop of Horrors at one point.
Yeah, it's a bloody beauty.
It's one of the greats.
It's like a rite of passage, isn't it?
Yeah.
Certainly video games. And we've always wanted to sing with or work with the MSO. And you just sort of have to be stubborn enough to keep going with what you're doing and hopefully someone in position of power who have liked you in the, from the past, grows up into those positions and comes to you and says, you want to work with the MSO?
Yeah.
And we go, yes, please.
Yeah. We just had to wait them out. All the people that liked us when they were three.
Yeah.
And now growing up and have important jobs.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because, I mean, I wasn't three, but you came to my high school. I went to Woodley School.
I remember that gig.
That was really fun. So this is like about, for me, it would have been about 13 years ago now, thereabouts. And you guys came to our school assembly and you did like a full-on gig basically in our assembly hall. I remember being in high school and thinking, oh, this is awesome, you know, it's tripod. and then here we are now. I saw, of course, you were doing the show with the Symphony Orchestra, and I just thought, I have to reach out to you guys. I have to get you in the studio.
We're thrilled to be here.
It's come full circle, which
we
is
kind
awesome.
Of fell in love with Woodley that day because we go, these schools exist.
What magical school is this?
Yes. One, a school that would book tripod for a concert. Well, it was the only time we played there. It was the first and last.
We got asked back.
We love that place. Yeah. But this gaming show is about it's all original material. It's all our material. Yeah. So I think that's exciting. Even if you're a fan of the MSO, to go to a show and see a show with original Australian material rather than
fair income new commission,
I did see an ad for the Back to the Future.
Yeah,
they're playing Back to the Future. I'd see that.
Yeah, I think it is absolutely a timely thing because you're right. Like Lord of the Rings had the orchestra with them as well around Australia, and then you've had there's a Pokemon orchestra coming to Australia later this year as well. Yeah. So I think the whole video games and pop culture being including this sort of grand thing like an orchestra, it's becoming more common, which is great.
Which is great, and it gives and you know the explosion of the games industry, especially that sort of AAA level, has reinvigorated the whole notion of an orchestra, and what they can do, what gigs are out there for orchestras to do, it's not just cranking out, Mahler or whatever. There's a constant flow of new work for orchestras to get involved in, not just in movies now, but also this huge games industry that's going on.
Yeah, that's right. And game music is not just MIDIs anymore.
No.
It's much more elaborate than that. And we'll talk about that later as well. You are working with Austin, so.
Yeah. The orchestras love it as well because a lot of them, when they are learning their instruments and playing their instruments, they're learning all this stuff like Bach and Mozart and that kind of stuff. And they're like, yep, here's the old classics again. We're doing this one again. And now suddenly it's like, wait a minute, we get to do some video games?
Yeah.
This is just completely different because they've done also Star Trek as well recently. MSO had the same with Star Trek.
Well, it may not surprise you to know that the brain who sort of commissioned this work off Tripod, Andrew Pogson at the MSO, has a lot to do with the other sort of geek content that's going on over there.
There's
a
lot going on there at the moment, which is fantastic because all my friends are geeking out constantly going,
it's great.
And how many, 20 somethings go, oh, yes, I'm going to the orchestra?
Well, exactly. And that's what's great about it, and that's what they want too. Yeah. The MSO get to come and be part of the comedy festival and sort of put themselves into a different kind of cultural space than the first Dolls and the big end of town sort of stuff and actually kind of get their hands dirty.
And basically that's what it's been. The geeks have taken over and now we can do all this fun stuff.
Hopefully. And they want to play new things.
Yeah.
I mean, they're happy to do, Beethoven and Mahler and all that, but, to have new material, they really are excited about it.
Yeah.
So are we.
You're on Critical Hit here on Joy 94.9 and they're still here. They haven't left. Don't worry. Gatesy, Scott and Jan, the boys from Tripod. And we're going to be playing another song now from This Gaming Life, which we're going to talk about just afterwards, how you can get tickets and check it out. So once again, here we go, Tripod.
All right. This is I guess the best way to describe this one is it's my origin story. I wasn't too good at football, so my folks decided that my game might be soccer. They bought me the equipment, the boots, the shorts and jumper, a book on how to play soccer.
Ooh.
Paid the $30 to the Mulgrave Tigers. I got there so excited. And all the kids were pulling down each other's pants, pulling down each other's pants. What a terrifying dance, sneaking up and pulling down each other's shorts, pulling down each other's shorts. I thought that we were here to play sport. I never went back to soccer, I flat out laid the law down. My folks were disappointed. They said,
we're only trying to find you a thing that you are into, and it cost us $30.
For 10 weeks starting Friday,
you'll have to pay us back from your weekly pocket money. If you're not into
pulling down each other's pants,
that's your choice, son. What kind of parents would we be if we let you get out of
pulling down each other's pants
for free?
That is our parental
stance. There's a cost to not pulling down pants,
but I did not submit to their decree. I stole it back each week methodically. You shouldn't have to pay for the right to keep your pants on. Then one day Mum caught me with my hand in her purse. That night Dad sat me down. He said,
son, you're at a crossroads. You could be a good man or wind up in the jailhouse, where everybody's, you know what I'm saying? You need to find an outlet. You need to find your thing.
So I stole some change and went and found my brother down at the arcade. And I stayed. 'Cause everyone wore belts.
Good guys.
So that, but with an orchestra.
Yeah.
Just imagine it now.
Picture it. They're surrounding them.
A lovely song all about pulling down people's pants.
Dacking. We struggled with that. We were going to call it dacking each other, everyone.
Yeah.
Dacking each other. Didn't. It wouldn't travel, would it?
I think you've done well. I think it's international now.
Yeah, it's international. It's universal.
And you've chosen the right station to sing that one, so thank you.
We're all for it.
Now, look, we should talk about, I mean, Melbourne Symphony Orchestra, This Gaming Life. Can you just start and tell me about how this came about? This idea that you had, did you wake up and think, oh, this would be kind of cool, should we just see if we can, or were you approached? How did it all come about? Well, it's amazing.
The MSO came to us, and the original conversation, I think, was about remounting a previous show we did about tabletop gaming called Triford versus the Dragon, which was originally called Dungeons and Dragons the Opera, which we had always dreamed, ironically, we had always dreamed of doing with the MSO. But we kind of felt like if the point was to do a comedy festival show, you don't want to be putting all your chips on a show you've already done in a comedy festival like that. So, if you know, you're trying to fill some big rooms. So we thought, well, let's come up with something kind of new and you know, that hits the sort of audience they were going for. And we very much workshopped it with them, didn't we? We kind of did.
And I think it was actually our manager who went, why don't you do a show about, you know, you love video games. Why don't you do a show about how much you love video games? And then
the irony there is he knows nothing about video games.
You like those video game things. Right. You know, it's popular with the youth of today, isn't it?
And so he was smiling and nodding, basically.
He groans and sighs whenever we geek out on any given topic. Not interested.
And when you first said it, it was like, yeah, well, it's a bit obvious because we've already done a bit of video game stuff before. But then we kind of went, well, what if it's like really about kind of us and about the lifestyle of being into video games and kind of the friendships that evolve out of that, and the conflicts that evolve within those friendships, and also the things that happen between gamers and the people around them who don't get it.
Also when we discovered video games, like in the late 70s, we're that old, we were kids, but we've watched, we've grown up with video games as that whole gaming industry has grown up as well.
Yeah.
So you're coming to terms with what was originally seen as a kid's thing or a toy or a, you know, but grown adults in their 40s like us
who are
playing them.
And it really feels like it is the time to do something. I mean, clearly we're a comedy group and there are jokes in the show and it's a funny show, but gaming is now a serious thing.
Yeah.
And we want the show to kind of reflect that as well. Like we're passionate about it and the show really expresses that passion,
Yeah. Definitely, like I've heard, obviously you were at PAX last year promoting the show as well. So you did a couple of songs on stage with a smaller version of the orchestra.
A little quartet.
A quartet on stage with you guys. And I mean, even from those songs and the ones you've sung today, you definitely get that vibe where there's nods to things that only gamers are going to understand, which is really great. But it's also the kind of show where I feel like a gamer could bring their loved one who maybe doesn't quite get it and still enjoy it, because it's kind of an insight into our state of mind and why we play games in the first place.
That's right. This particular story always comes back to me when we talk about this. We did this song ages ago called Gonna Make You Happy Tonight, which was kind of about an Xbox not doing any favours for a sex life in a relationship because he just wants to play video games instead. And a guy came up afterwards, you know, because that was a pretty popular song at the time, and a guy came up after, I love that song. It's really great, that song. I think it was to you, wasn't it? He was talking.
Yeah.
And Yoni's gone, oh, so you're into games, are you? He's like, no, I'm into cars. But it's the same, you know? And that's the kind of, to me, that's, this show kind of fits that too. I think it's really about love and passion and, you know, being really into something.
Yeah.
And the specifics, they are there.
Yeah.
As far as games references and all that stuff, but it's not the core, I don't think.
I used to explain it to my partner I'm not in an indoor cricket club. You know, I don't train two nights a week and have a game on Saturday. You know, that's not my hobby. My hobby is to pick up a controller and play video games. You know, and is that, in her mind, is that a legitimate way to spend time?
Yeah, and so it's almost like you come out to a new partner, don't you? It's like, oh, by the way, I'm a gamer.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah,
and once they accept it, that's it. Like, marry them.
You're done. I also had that thing early on in my relationship was, where she sort of pretended that she would be into games.
Yeah.
I remember she played, I think she played a little bit of GTA with me. You know, this is like in our first year.
Yeah.
And then just sort of she drifted. It's not a thing. And that's fine. That is a common thing. I think people sort of put on a bit of a mask.
Bit of a honey trap.
But it's true. I mean, my partner, he watches Quanda religiously, Q&A, you know, politics, that kind of stuff. And like, you know, when we first started dating, I was like, I'll watch it. I'll sit up and watch it. And then it started to, you sit up and watch it, I'll play World of Warcraft instead.
Yes,
because it was I'm much more interested in doing my own thing and you do your own thing.
Right. And to some extent, that's a relationship maturing, isn't it?
Yes,
if everyone can get what they want, there's a good open communication of what people are into. That's nice.
Lovely. You're on Critical Hit here on Joy 94.9 with the boys from Tripod today, talking all about video games and geek stuff, but also about their upcoming show at the Comedy Festival, This Gaming Life. Now, we talked about the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra and how they approached you and stuff like that, but what's exciting for me is, and I said it before, I meant it, we've played the Journey theme on the show a few times because I love that soundtrack and it makes that game so amazing. It improves it even beyond what it already is. Now, Austin Wintory, how did he get involved with this project? Because that's a good get.
We just emailed him. That's it.
He heard the Tripod before. He was like, no worries.
It was such a stroke of luck. I mean, the MSO approached Austin, having worked with him before on a few Video Games Live shows up in Brisbane and so forth. So there was a relationship there. But as far as Austin actually wanted, because it's a lot of work, it's not just come and conduct this show. He's orchestrating it and really co-composing it with us.
Yeah. We give him, like, the demos that we give him are so bare bones.
Yeah.
Like, we give him as little as possible so that it can just go somewhere completely different.
Yes, and that's working great. So, but he was prepared to undertake that project, which is amazing because he's pretty busy. I mean, since Journey, his career has just gone apeshit.
And for those who don't know, Journey was the first video game to be nominated for a Grammy for music in
and
that
a BAFTA,
way.
Won a BAFTA.
And it won a BAFTA as well, that's right. Yeah, so, I mean,
nominated
definitely
for two BAFTAs for the Banner Saga this year as well.
Another great game as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great soundtrack.
So he's not only that, but his film score work. I mean, the guy's 30. He's scored 42 feature films in in his career thus far. That's full-length feature film, not counting the short ones, you know.
A long way
unbelievable. I mean, he's a machine. So, but it just worked out that he had just got up with his mate at a cabaret club and played the Journey soundtrack on the accordion, you know, as part of this sort of comedy night.
Yeah.
And he kind of had a taste for it. He was like, he had his radar out for sort of more comedy, cabaret
the
kind
laughs,
of gig.
They're addictive. Yeah.
We know that.
It's waiting for the perfect project to come along. And then you guys came along. Fantastic.
I was just going to say, he's orchestrating for Melbourne Symphony Orchestra. How many people have you got in that orchestra?
It's a 55-60 piece orchestra, I think.
That's massive undertaking as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just like a quartet or a quintet.
The landscapes and the colours, the dimensions that Austin's getting out of that ensemble is just astounding. The kind of emotional range of what's being said. You know, he takes these songs which have a very specific structure and very direct and clear kind of point, and he doesn't obscure that, but he nests it in this just amazing vista of texture and colour. It's unbelievable.
And how's it been for you guys collaborating with somebody that you don't get a lot of face time with? Like, how much time have you actually spent with Austin in person working on this project?
We've got to control the amount of face time. If you're talking FaceTime / Skype or something like that, we reconvene maybe daily to talk with him for maybe 10 minutes and give notes and stuff. But that blows out 2-3 hours because we love a chat, I guess.
Yeah.
We have to walk in and go, before we call him, okay, don't ask him any questions because he'll give you a 20-minute answer.
Full
of enthusiasm and he's wonderful. He's great to listen to. He's seductive. But yeah, we've got work to do, Austin.
Have you ever worked like this
and
before?
And so does he.
Like,
he does too. Oh.
Sending back and forth material to each other and working in this fashion, that must be challenging, right?
Like usually, we do all the music pretty much.
Yeah.
Like sometimes we've done albums and we've added a few instruments and stuff, but it's very much under our direction when we do that. I think this is the first time we've just... It is kind of a leap of faith. It feel, you know, it's like it is a new thing, like giving over your stuff and like going, you know,
do your thing.
It must be exciting
when you get it.
Well, that's right. It's so exciting. I mean, it's just the grins on our faces sometimes when we come into work because we've heard the thing that emailed I was listening to on the tram or whatever. Unbelievable. There was one this morning that came through, which was just stunning. But you do often get something back that has very little bearing on how you did imagine it.
Yeah.
And that's the point, and that's how we've structured the process so to allow room for that to happen.
Yeah.
But when it does happen, you kind of have to do this thing where you kind of go, I'm going to just try and forget what I expected this to be and try and assess it on what it is, and that's not always easy. So, it's definitely going to be... I don't think there's another show like this. I mean, the scope of it takes the tripod concert format and just turns it into just this almost operatic
oratorio.
It's an oratorio.
That's right. I even saw Austin Post. Austin posted, you ain't never heard him like this before.
I've got to apologise to you and the listeners too. Earlier when we did Good Friends Killing Each Other, I forgot what the chords were. I couldn't work out what was, because I don't play it.
We never play these songs.
Of course.
We've sent these songs, Good Friends especially, that was maybe 4 months ago. We sent that to Austin and I've not played it since then, you know. So it's kind of like, we did this recording the other night on Wednesday. I think the TV, it's going to be on the telly tonight.
The gala.
Gala All-Star Show. We opened the show and we got to play, you know, the MS organised a different arranger for that thing because the timeline was too quick. Mm. But just performing with 8 other musicians was so hard. It's so hard to lock in with an orchestra.
Yeah.
With a guy on a timpani and the girl on harp was amazing.
Mm. Yeah.
But I couldn't for the life of me play along with her. It was just... So I'm really looking forward to standing in front of an orchestra near the end of April and just singing. Oh, it's gone. I just filled my pants again.
Yeah, it happened again.
The wrong way.
It is going to be amazing. And look, so just quickly, just so we know, people know how to get tickets and how to go. Tripod, this gaming life. You can get tickets on www.mso.com.au, and all the information's also on comedyfestival.com.au as well. It's Friday the 17th of April and Saturday the 17th of April at 7:30 p.m. at Hamer Hall, which is awesome. Oh, great venue.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Nice. So if you want tickets, definitely jump online and check it out. It's going to be a really, really great show.
You might
for gamers and others.
No promises, but you might even get to hear a bit of the old Journey.
Oh,
I don't know.
Maybe
I might have found a way.
We're getting goosebumps already.
So obviously, in development of this, have you guys been spending? You've obviously been spending 20 years playing video games. What games are sort of the quintessential ones for you in terms of your growing up?
Well, we did have when we were touring together a lot. We don't tour as much as we used to, but for a while there, we were just on the road all the time with each other, and that was the peak Halo time for us. Split screen, multiplayer, you know, in the hotel room. Just, we had some awesome times playing that game. That was just seminal for us. And whilst we were doing it, we did sort of construct this fictional musical called Halo the Musical. We wrote all the songs for it, just playing. And
so when did this come out?
Well, it turns out it's going to make it into the, you know, we're going to finally do it with an orchestra.
Awesome. Dream come true.
Fantastic. So speaking of split screen, Jon, you wanted to talk about split screen multiplayer.
Well, I just want to say that it doesn't seem to happen as much, particularly in shooters. And it's like, if you've got these better, you know, supposedly gruntier machines, there should be more reason for split screen to exist. And I think people still want to do that and sit on a couch together, even though clearly there's the online way of playing and having your big screen, and that's great when you're just alone in your room and you're communicating over a headset or whatever.
Yeah.
But being in the same room and killing each other.
Certainly.
Or playing Mario Kart or, you know, any of those split screen games.
Yeah.
It's just so fun.
We all want another GoldenEye, don't we? Yeah. Another Perfect Dark. You know, we all want one of those shooters
GoldenEye,
to come back.
Perfect Dark, even Halo on that first Xbox.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful moment where the technology and the ability and the games were good enough.
Mm.
But I think what happened with the internet and, you know, broadband and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Companies just went, let's sell more units. Let's take away that. We'll get them network playing.
Yeah, and the whole 64 players and stuff, and they've evolved so much now. But there are some games, like we said, Borderlands Handsome Collection came out this week.
Very exciting.
Yeah. And they've got split-screen multiplayer. Yeah,
which is
great. And, you know, Borderlands has always been a great franchise for that.
It did have two-player, though, didn't it?
It did have two-player.
There was a lot of texture popping and a lot of... Yeah, it was just... It was
easily
glitchy.
Good enough to play.
It was good enough to play.
We played all the way through both of them.
Mm. Yeah.
Did you?
And my son,
one and
yeah.
two. Yeah,
it was
right.
great.
Yeah, they are good games, and it did come out. I'm going to review that next week on the show, I believe. It is a great franchise, and one of the ones that does harken back to those old school days where you were sitting on the couch, and, you know, Nintendo, even though with Zelda and stuff, it's been delayed, but they're still doing the party thing. Mario Party came out last week, and they're still doing Mario Kart and Super Smash Brothers. Nintendo hasn't forgotten the couch multiplayer so much, but all the shooters and stuff, they've definitely moved away from that. Mm. So it is a bit sad.
We've got an email in. It's from Missy from Podster HQ. She said to say hi, but she also said tons of fans want to know, are you going to be touring this show at all?
Well, that's the plan. I mean, but the sort of architecture of the way orchestra shows get created and then staged is this new cathedral of knowledge we're trying to get our head around. So basically, we have to get through this show and then hopefully we'll be able to then on-sell the show to, you know, a bunch of other orchestras here and also in the States where
Austin there is
a huge...
There is a question about worldwide.
That's the plan. That's the plan.
That is the plan. Yeah. We got a message on Twitter saying please come to Perth as well.
Love to. You
know. Well, send the WASO.
Yeah.
WASO Major General.
Get on to
Melbourne.
Them.
I mean, the interesting thing about the MSO is that they have a position, which is Andrew Pogson, who is in charge of... Part of his job, not all of it, but part of it is creating new contemporary work.
Yep.
And not many orchestras actually have that chair, you know. So,
and he really is the third creative force in this show.
Yeah,
because
he went,
you know, Tripod should do a show, and he's the guy they should do it with. You know, we knew Journey, we'd played Journey, but we didn't know Austin.
He didn't have that connection.
You know? We didn't have to beg either. It's just
great.
It's amazing.
Right.
It's really wonderful, and I'm even going to end the show with some Journey soundtrack later as well. That's how much I like it. So now one more thing we'll talk about just quickly. You probably don't have enough time to talk about it in great detail, but one quote that Austin also said, which I know we've talked about briefly off air, is that games have evolved into a full-blown art genre that is right alongside literature and any other form of storytelling. So as old school gamers starting in the 70s and moving forward to today, how cool has that been? I mean, even me growing up in the late 80s to 90s, seeing games evolve to what they are now, where there's a story and there's soundtrack and it all builds to it.
I mean, it's like really exciting and so many great examples of what you're talking about. But for me, the thing that excites me most about games as an art form is the things that the other art forms can't do, which is co-creating stories with the player. Those are the games that excite me the most, the ones that give the player a toolkit to sort of create their own stories in this emergent kind of, you know, these poetic, ironic, scary situations that just emerge out of the structure of the game that no one else has experienced.
I'm quite excited about a game called No Man's Sky.
Oh, which yes.
I was watching some videos on it last night.
yeah, definitely.
And just a procedurally generated universe. Yeah. Like, he was doing this sort of tech thing and you watching this universe kind of draw itself, create itself as you're moving through it.
That's right.
You know, that is what you're saying.
And there's like, I think I've read somewhere with No Man's Sky that, you know, you can play it for 50 million hours and you still won't see everything. Like, literally, you have to play it forever and you wouldn't see everything because it just keeps generating and you might see people, you might not. So I think that's exactly right. It's amazing what they're doing now.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Guys, we've run out of time and I'm really upset. I really...
There's so much more we can talk about. Talking about video games, it's as hence why we have a weekly radio show. About it is because there is always so much to talk about.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But it's been absolutely fabulous having you guys in studio with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming in.
Such a joy. Thank you.
And for hanging out with us for the whole hour as well.
Yeah.
Playing some awesome songs.
Look, guys, anytime you want to come back on the show, shoot me an email.
For free.
Drop in, seriously.
Got nothing on next week.
I'm sure you're very, very, all the spare time that you have right now, lazy it is. Completely lazy. So thank you so much for coming in again. And good luck with the show. Hopefully
thank
it goes
you.
Really well.
Hopefully we'll see you there.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.